2 hours later, they returned, but not as official visitors this time. Instead of walking up the street, they moved as Jedi knew how to, darting from dark place to dark place, sending tiny distractions into the minds of pedestrians so they might pass unnoticed. Their dark garments helped, as did the lateness of the hour and the still ominous cloud cover, which blocked out starlight and moonlight. Soon enough, they found themselves at the base of the durasteel and transparasteel walls of the temple. Luke gauged the height and sprang upward. He came to rest atop, one haunch on the transparasteel lip, balancing there. He extended his hand down for his son. Ben leapt up, letting the force enhance his jump. He landed beside Luke in a crouch, both boot heels on the transparasteel lip, and grinned at his father. Together they leapt down into the grounds of the temple. Moments later, they stood by the hearth where Charsay Saul had theoretically burned. The remains of the fire had been mopped up. No ashes remained. Luke turned his attention to the platform where the Keldor had stood for his speech, had laid down to die. If we assume that this was the means by which he disappeared, there's probably a mechanism here.
Or a sensor, Ben said, from which they're watching us right now and plotting our demise.
You watch too many holodramas. Luke stroked the platform along its top.
No, it doesn't take that many before you learn all the rules.
Luke paused over one spot. If he triggered the mechanism himself, it was with use of the force.
We would have felt that.
Good point. So it was done by a Confederate. Luke snapped his fingers, and a portion of the top of the platform swung downward, leaving a gap easily large enough for a good-sized human or a Keldor to fit through. Shall we?
Masters first.
They used Luke's hook and grapnel, no longer worn on his primary belt but still in his customary gear, to descend. 10 meters down, their boots touched a stone floor. Luke pointed a finger up, and the hook dislodged, dropping into his other hand. He gestured again, and the rectangular opening above their heads closed. They were in a storage chamber of some sort. There were many metal shelves here, loaded with crates marked in the Keldor language. There were also several large containers that themselves looked like coffins, but silvery, lozenge-shaped high-tech coffins. It was all dimly lit by low-intensity glow rods. They stood on some sort of hydraulic platform that, retracted as it was now, was almost at floor level, but when raised, should take it up to the ceiling and the hidden entrance above.
Pretty simple, Ben whispered.
Luke tucked his grapnel and line away, nodding. He gestured toward the one door out of the chamber. They waited by the door, extending their perceptions through it. In the force, Ben could feel living beings beyond, but not close by. Luke activated the door. It slid open, quietly. But the hiss was loud enough to make Ben cringe. Sneaking around was so much more difficult when you had to rely on other people's machinery, he decided. He followed his father into a plain, permacrete-lined corridor. There was a large rolling cart against the hallway wall opposite. Other doors lined the hall. The force presences Ben had detected were beyond the one at the end of the hall, to the left. Luke had come to the same conclusion. Together they approached the door. It was sturdy durasteel, too thick for sound to carry through. Luke looked at Ben and shrugged.
Might as well barge in, he whispered.
They're Baron Dosages. They're not going to try to kill people for prowling through their basement. I hope.
Luke smiled. He activated the door, and it slid up. The chamber beyond was not large. 2 shining metal rails at waist height led into a round hole, a meter in diameter, in the wall. One of the lozenge coffin containers rested on those rails,